The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
The Yantif of Purim, the Chazal established that we should celebrate this day, and we should remember the great miracle which took place the Dedes for generations. And this was a takona, an edict from the time of the Nevi'im, of the prophets, Midivrei Kabbalah. And they proclaimed that we should celebrate this day with four mitzvahs, which are Mikra Megillah, the reading of the Megillah, Mishleach Manes, Isharehu, the sending of gifts one to another, Matonis Levyonim, the giving of gifts to the poor, and the Suda and Simchas Purim, to have a feast and to be merry on this day. Now we find some distinguishing differences between Purim and the other Mayadim, which we would like to point out, not all of them, but a few of them at this time. We have in totality Zayin Mo'adim, seven special times that we celebrate during the year. The Gimel Regolim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and then the two that the Rabbonin, that the rabbis decreed, Chanukah and Purim. The Gemara tells us in Masechet Megillah that Purim is the only Yantif that its source was in the Golus, in the exile, during the Churban Beis HaMikdash, during the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Even though the other Yom Tovim, many of them took place also outside of Eretz Yisrael, for example, Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus from Egypt. But there the Gemara explains that was Kedem Bias Oretz, that was before we came to Eretz Yisrael. But once we came to Eretz Yisrael, Beniskatsho, we came to Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael became sanctified with the living of Klal Yisrael and the building of the Mishkan in Eretz Yisrael. Then all of the great miracles took place in Eretz Yisrael. Yotze min haklal hazeh, the exception is Purim. It was a great miracle, and which became the source of a great Yantif, which took place in the Golus during Churban Beis HaMikdash. It took place during the Golus Bavel, that after the king of Bavel came into Yerushalayim and he destroyed the Bais Rishon, the first Beis HaMikdash, and Yerushalayim, and he sent Klal Yisrael into Golus. It was during this period, near the end of the Golus, the 70 years of Golus, that the story of Purim takes place. Secondly, the miracle is what the sages term as a nes nistar, a miracle which was totally concealed. Unlike the great Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus, the Makkos, the plagues, the Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea, or even Chanukah, where there was the miracle of the Pach Shel Shemen, the flask of oil, which burned for 8 days, when there was only enough oil to burn for 1 day. In Purim, there was nothing that took place that was unnatural. And therefore it was totally concealed. The fact is, a person was not able to recognize that what took place during Purim, with Esther, with Mordechai, with Achashverosh, with Haman, the appointment of Haman, the downfall of Haman, the appointment of Esther, the appointment of Mordechai, was anything out of the ordinary, normal events, historical events. The Yad Hashem, the hand of Hashem, the Yad Chazoka, and the Zeraya Netuya are not evident at all during the entire episode, or even after the episode. This is a second distinction. A third distinction is we find that generally the great miracles and the great Yeshua salvations that took place to Klal Yisrael, and because of these we've established great Ma'adim, times of festivity, they were a Geula Shlema. They were a total salvation. We were Yotza Mishibud Mitzrayim, we went out of slavery, mi abdus lecherus, from freedom to from slavery to freedom. Or during Hanukkah, we drove the Greeks out of the land and restored the Beis Hamikdash, purified and sanctified it again. Again, Purim is different. The Gemara tells us in Megillah, in Masechta Megillah, that one of the reasons why we do not recite the Hallel for Purim is because it was not a Geula Shlema, it was not a total redemption. A Dain Avdei Achashverosh Haran. Even though it was a great Yeshua, but we were still subjects to Achashverosh in a strange land. So that's another distinction. And finally, we have a mitzvah on Purim, which is part of the Sudas Purim, and that the Gemara tells us is Chayav Adam Nisum Purim Ad Layoda Bein Oru Haman Barak Mordechai. That a person is obligated to drink so much on Purim until Shikrus, until no longer does he know the difference between cursing Haman and blessing Mordechai. This is something, a very strange obligation. Generally, when we call Davar Shebekdusha, when we want to do a mitzvah, we're kever al keshel yayin, so we do it over a cup of wine. Chupa, Kiddushin, Kiddush on Pesach, the Chazal with Kiveya, where we should drink Arba cases, four cups of wine. But we never find where there is a mitzvah where a person should drink so much wine to the point where he's Adela Yoda, where no longer he knows what's happening. So this is another strange point in Purim. Let's see what we can explain from this evening. There's a Mishnah Masechta Ovis, which we quoted just last Shabbos. It's in the last Perek Hey, Mishnah Hey. Mishnah states, Asora nisim nasu lavesenu bebeis hamikdash. Actually, it's Mishnah Ches and some Mishnais. 10 miracles took place for our fathers in the Beis Hamikdash, in the sanctuary. These 10 miracles took place all of the time, on a regular basis. And the Mishnah lists them. We won't go through them all now, but we'll mention a few. Lahapili Ishamerech Psara Kodesh Le Yisriach Psara Kedesh Ma'elam. The Beis Hamikdash was a place where a lot of shechting of meat, a lot of slaughtering of meat was taking place all of the time, because great numbers of korbanos, of sacrifices, were brought. So one would think that it was like an abattoir. When you go into an abattoir, it's not the most pleasant places to be. At times, it states, when the Korban Pesach was brought, there were 600,000 sheep and goats slaughtered. Still, never did a woman have a mishap of a miscarriage because of the strong odor of the meat, because there was no strong odor of the meat. Lehisriach psara kedish ma'elam. Never did any of the meat spoil. Lehmirizvuv bebeis hamitpachayim. Never in the place where they slaughtered the meat in the Beis HaMikdosh did you ever even see a fly. Where there's food processing. So there has to be the odors of meat, there has to be the spoilage of meat, there has to be flies and insects. Not even a fly. Then it tells us others. There was a fire. Eshtukat Beit Omid, that we were obligated that the fire and the Mizbeach and the altar should always be there, day and night. Now one of the altars was in the Azor, the courtyard, so there was no roof. So how could the fire be there all of the time if there was no roof? It rained. Still, fire never extinguished. The column of smoke that went up always remained in perfect straightness. Never was it bent by the wind. Never did anyone come to Yerushalayim in order to go to the Beis HaMikdash. We were obligated, Shleish Promim Bashona, 3 times a year, to come up to Yerushalayim. Every person had to be seen and bring his sacrifices to Hashem. Erev Pesach, everyone had to come to bring the Korban Pesach. So we're speaking here of not hundreds of thousands, millions of people had to come up to Yerushalayim. Never did it happen that anyone was ever bitten by a scorpion or a snake in Yerushalayim. Never did it happen that when they all stood near the Beis HaMikdash and they were shoulder to shoulder because of the tremendous multitudes of people, that when it came time to bow down to the ground, that there wasn't enough room. Never did it happen that someone should say that there's no place for me to stay in Yerushalayim. So these were Asor HaNisim that took place, 10 miracles that took place in the Beis HaMikdosh on a regular basis. The Maral explains that in the physical world that we live in, it's impossible for miracles to take place because this is totally against the rules and laws of nature that HaKadosh Baruch Hu laid down. And if we do see a miracle take place, it's only lishor. It's only temporary. And immediately, the laws of nature bring the world back into its original order. For example, the Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea. The sea split. But how long was it split for? As long as necessary. And then afterwards, everything went back to normal. Same thing by the Makis, the plagues. Because the forces of nature rule. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed. So therefore it's impossible for miracles to take place often, and even when they do take place, that it should be on a permanent, regular basis. Yotzo min haklal hazer. The exception to this rule was the Mokem HaMikdosh, the place of the Mikdosh. Like we see, Asor Nisim Nasu Laviseinu, 10 miracles took place all of the time, on a daily basis. And why is this? That's because that place is not a place of this world. That place is Nivdol. That place is separated. It's distinguished from this world. It's a higher place. And since it's distinguished and it's a higher place from this world, so then no longer is it subjected to the laws of the earth. This is why they took place on a regular basis, all of the time. And this is why the Mishnah counts 10. Why Dafka 10? Because if it would be 1 or 2 or 3, so it could be an exception. Because 1, 2, and 3, this represents individual occurrences. But 10 already is a number which is a total unit. When you count individual happenings until 10. And 10 is already a totality. So this is a sign that this was not individual occurrences. This was not the exception, this was the rule by the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, the Beis HaMikdash was a place of Nisim Gluim, of open miracles, not from time to time, but all of the time, because it was detached from the earthly world that we live in, which is subjected to the rules of the world, the forces of the world. And the influence of the Beis HaMikdash influenced all of Yerushalayim and all of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael also was a place where miracles could occur often. And it even had an influence on the entire world. When the Beis HaMikdash became destroyed, this mila, this level was lost. It was lost to the place of the Mikdash. It was lost to Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael, and ultimately to the world. The fact is, the Chazal tell us that even when we rebuilt the second Beis HaMikdash, and this level returned, it did not return to the level of the first Beis HaMikdash. There were a number of things which were chosru, that the second Beis HaMikdash lacked, that the first Beis HaMikdash had. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so then what we had, what was the Chazal called, Siluk HaShchina, the Shchina departed. Because what was the Milas HaMikdash? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwelled there. He said, "V'osali Mikdash v'shochanti b'seichom, build for me a sanctuary that I may dwell amongst them." And this was his place. He was Hashechin b'tzion. So this was his place. And where the Shechina, so then there are miracles, because it's a higher level. It's a level detached from this world. With the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, so the Shechina departed. And therefore we lost this level. One might assume, therefore, that with the Siluk HaShchina, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence departing, so therefore miracles no longer could occur to the world. This is what one might assume. But the Gemara tells us something interesting, which we quoted in a shiur just recently. Might have been last week. The Gemara in Masechta Megillah and Chof Tes states as follows. Tani Reb Shimon ben Yochai. Reb Shimon ben Yochai learned, Boyer ei kama chavivin Yisrael ifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Come and see how dear Klal Yisrael is to Hashem. Shebechol mokum shegolu shchina imohen. Wherever Klal Yisrael went into Golus, the Shechina went along with them. In other words, he departed, but he went with Yisrael. Golulilis mitzrayim shchina imohen. When they went down to Egypt, he went along. As it states, Anigdon Niglesi Levesavicho Biyasamitzrayim. I revealed to your father's house, the house of your father, when you were in Egypt. I revealed myself, Golul Bavel. When they went into Bavel, this is the exile we're referring to now, Shchina Imohem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu went with them. Shneama Lamanchem Shalachti Bavelo. Be'afki Shehena Sidin Ligoyel. And when they will be redeemed from the Golus, Shechina Imohen, the Shechina will also be redeemed together with them. As it states, V'shav Hashem Elokecha Shvuzecha V'heishiv Leinema El V'shav. It does not say that he will bring back the exiles of Israel, but he will return with them. Shakorish Baruch Hu Shavi Mahen Mibein HaGolius. Then the Gemara brings a posuk in Yecheskel Yud Aleph, posuk Tes Zayin, Lachein Emor. You shall say to them, Kayamar Hashem Elokim. This is what Hashem has said, Ki hirchaktim bagoyim, when I will send you out into the distant nations, V'chi hafitzeisim ba'arotzeis, and when I will scatter you in the lands, V'ehi lahem lemigdosh me'at, I shall be for you a minor sanctuary, a small sanctuary, ba'arotzeis asher bo'ushom, in the lands that you will come to. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Klal Yisrael that when the Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed and the sanctuary will no longer exist and my Shekhinah will no longer be there and you will go into the distant lands, do not be afraid that you will not have the sanctuary, for you will have it, for I will be for you a Mikdosh Me'at, a minor sanctuary in those lands which you shall come. The Gemara asks, where is that minor sanctuary? So on that the Gemara says, Omer of Yitzchok, Ele Bote Knesiyes, Vote Midrash Shebabavel. These are the shuls, the houses of prayer, and the houses of study in Babel. That when Klal Yisrael went down to Babel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu went with them. And where did he stay? He placed himself in the shuls and in the yeshivas. Reb Lezer says this was the house of Rabbeinu, the house of Rav. Rav had a great yeshiva in Bavel, and this became the Mikdash Me'at. And it's for this reason that the Gemara tells us that in the Golus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also has a sanctuary. And the sanctuary is in the Bote Knesiyos, or Bote Midrashos. Now it's interesting to note, he didn't say Ve'as Elohim. He didn't say, I will make for you a sanctuary in the Golus. He said, I will be for you. Pasuk is Va'ehi lahem lemigdosh me'at. Should state Va'et Elohim. I shall make for you a sanctuary in the Golus. Didn't say that. He said Va'ehi lahem. I shall be for you a sanctuary in the Golus. What does that mean? So the rabbis explain. What was the sanctuary in Yerushalayim? That was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'shochanti b'seichom. Sanctuary in Yerushalayim, his Beis HaMikdash, was because he dwelled there. When he no longer could dwell there, he was chased out. And no longer could he dwell there. States he was chased out because of Avesein Arabim, because of our sins. So he went and he dwelled in another place with Klal Yisrael. And the same Shekhinah that dwelled in the Beis HaMikdash will dwell with you in the distant lands. The same Shekhinah. He didn't say, I will make for you a Mikdosh Me'at, a minor sanctuary. He said, Va'ehi, I shall be for you, just as I was here for you, a Mikdash Godel, a great sanctuary. I shall be for you be'atzis arachekim, in the distant lands, a minor sanctuary. In other words, my same Shekhinah that dwells in Yerushalayim during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, and now you have chased me out, so I will have to go into Golus and dwell with you in other places, and I will be for you the Beis HaMikdash. And where?
the Bote Kedishiyesh of Bote Midrashesh. This is what the Gemara brings. We quoted a great deal this. Then the Gemara brings in Brachesh. Gemara brings a posuk. Omer of Chizdo, Brachesh Davches. My dixiv, Eiv Hashem Sharei Tzion Mikol Mishkenei Yaakov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the Sharei Tzion. He loves the gates of Tzion more than all of the dwelling places of Yaakov. Now the pshutei, the simple sense means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Tzion. The Gemara Darshins. Gemara Darshins, Eiv Hashem Sho'orim HaMetzuyonim BaHalocha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yes, Mibotik Nishiyos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Sho'orim HaMetzuyonim, the gates where the halacha is found. Rashi brings Tzion Vasifa Sibor. He loves those places which are distinguished for the masses to come and to study the halacha. Oiv Hashem Sho'orim HaMetzuyonim BaHalacha Yeisem Mibotei Kinesios. Now, what is the, it would seem that we have a cloud, Ena Mikra Yeitzim Bibshutai, that you can't take a posuk and totally destroy the simple sense. States, Eiv Hashem Sharei Tzion, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the gates of Tzion. Now you're telling me it's going on the places where they study Torah. The answer is, it's not being Eikra Kro. It's not destroying the simple sense. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu love Sharei Tzion? Why does he love the gates of Tzion? Because he dwells there. That's his dwelling place. As he states, Hashesheichein b'tzion, I dwell in Tzion. If the reason why I love the Sharei Tzion, the gates of Tzion, because this is my dwelling place, so then also I love the Sho'orim HaMetzuyonim BaHalocha, the places where the Halocha is studied, because that also is my dwelling place. And that's what the Gemara brings. That's what is said. He says, Kiven miyayim shechora beis hamikdosh ein leila HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'alomei ela arba ames shel halocha b'vat. But from the time of the Churban, and no longer could he dwell in the gates of Tzion, so then he dwelled in the four ames of halocha. So it's not an akiras. It's not where we are destroying the posuk. It's an extension of the posuk. And that's what we brought, the Gemara brings here also on Daf Ches, where they went and they told Rabbi Yechanan, Omru Leil Rabbi Yechanan, Ikusabi Babavel. They told Rabbi Yechanan that there are old people living in Babel, very, very old. Toma. Rabbi Yechanan was the Rosh Hashiva in Eretz Yisrael. Toma, and he couldn't understand. It says, Leman Yirbu Yemecha Vibbenecha Mala Domaksiv. It states that Eretz Yisrael gives the keach to live long, not the golus. She couldn't understand. Aber bechutz lodes lei, kiven de amre lei mekad me machash chele beki nishto amar haynu da ani lehu. But once they told him that these people get up early in the morning and they go to shul, and they go back in the evening to shul, and they're in the shuls and they're in the bote midroshes. Oh, he says, now I understand. Kiromer Rabbi Shua ben Levi levonehol, like Rabbi Shua ben Levi said to his children, Kadima v'chashicho v'ayla lebekinishto ki hechi de tariche chayim. Get up early and to go to shul and go back at night and you'll live long. So the Maral explains, this is the same reason. Because why is Eretz Yisrael Eretz HaChayim? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells there. So if he has, when he extended his Shechina to the places of the Bote Kenesiyos or Bote Midrashos, then the same Shechina is there. So therefore it also gives Chayim. Now, this is the Mikdosh Mi'at that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took himself into the Golus with Klal Yisrael. Now, if it's the same Shechina, which it is, not two Shechinas, it's the same Shechina, so what's the difference? What is the difference between the Mikdosh Godel and the Mikdosh Mi'at? The answer to that, the rabbis teach. The Mikdosh HaGodel, this was the sanctuary in the desert, later in Eretz Yisrael, and later in Yerushalayim and Har HaBayis, this was at a level which was totally detached from this world. Being detached from this world, so no longer was it subjected to the laws and the forces of this world. And therefore, Asora Nisim Nasu Lavishenu B'Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, continually, there were miracles contrary to the forces of nature in the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, it was a place of Nisim Gluim, a place of miracles, open miracles that defied nature all of the time. V'vo'ehi L'Mikdash Me'at. The minor Beis HaMikdash in the Golus, that was not on that level, that was not detached from this world. So no longer was there a level of Nisim Glory. Once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, then we did not find open miracles. If for some reason we might find it once in a while, it'll be only l'sho, it'll be very temporary. Forces of nature prevail. But nevertheless, it was Shechina, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not subjected to the forces of nature, wherever he is. So miracles also took place, but they were concealed. They were concealed in the garb of the earthly world. So it's not what we think, that during the time of the Beis HaMikdash miracles took place and in the Golus no miracles took place. No, miracles took place because of Shechina, because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in the Mikdash and he's in the Golus. But the difference is that in the Mikdash, which was a place Nivdal, detached from the earthly world we live on, miracles took place always and openly in defiance of earthly order. In the Golus, miracles also take place. They take place all of the time, but they are concealed. Concealed to the point where we cannot see them, and they are not evident. This is the difference between the Mikdash HaGodol and the Mikdash Me'at. Actually, the Maral brings that this that the Gemara says, Mishachor Beis HaMikdash Ein LaKadosh Baruch Hu Ela Dal Ramos Shel Halacha Bilvad, that when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu only had the four cubits of Halacha to live in. He says it doesn't mean that after the Beis HaMikdash he went to live with Torah. No. He always lived with Torah. We find even in the Beis HaMikdash, where did his voice come from? His voice came from Bein HaKruvim, which was right above the Sefer Torah. It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu always dwelled in the Dalai Lama Shel Halacha. But there he dwelled concealed. When the Beis HaMikdash was built, he revealed himself with open miracles. Mishachora Beis HaMikdash, once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, then he had to return to his concealment. Ein la Kodesh Baruch Hu el Dal Ramesh Shel Halacha Bilvad, he had to return to being concealed. So this is the difference between the during the time Bizman Binyonei, during the time the Beis HaMikdash stood, and Bizman Churbonei, during the time the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. This is the difference between the Mikdash HaGodol, the great sanctuary, and the Mikdash Me'at, the minor sanctuary. Accordingly, we can understand now why the great miracles that took place during Purim were all concealed. Because Purim took place in the Golus. While the great miracles that took place, for example, in Hanukkah or in Mitzrayim, this was before they came to Eretz Yisrael, those were miracles which were revealed. Now, this that we say that the miracles are concealed. This is a tremendous and enormous concealment. This is something which is almost impossible to see. Happening that always happens. This is what we say in the Shemayin Esrei, in the Medim Anachnu Loch, where we say, Al Nisecha Shebechol Yemimonu, Beal Niflesecha Vete Visecha Shebechol Eis, Erev Avokim Etzohoroim. We say in the Shemayin Esrei that we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all of your miracles that you do for us, every day, all of the time, morning, afternoon, and night. And where are all of the miracles? Every day, morning, afternoon, and night. Where are the miracles? The answer is the miracles are always taking place, just like during the time of the Beis Hamikdash. But it's impossible for us to see them, unlike the time of the Beis Hamikdash. When we say it's impossible, we're speaking of something which is very, very difficult to see, because the seiser, the darkness, and the concealment of the golus, of the exile, is so strong to conceal the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is a nevuah. This is a prophecy that the Torah tells us about. In Parshas Vayelech, Lamed Aleph, Tes Zayin, Yud Ches, it states, Vayema Hashem al Mesha. Hin hosheche vim avasech bekom azev vezona achreile kein necher oretz achreile hein necher oretz at tsher atohu vo shoma bikirboi. Hashem tells Moshe, he says, you will die and your Talmud Yeshua will die and the people will forget. They'll forget what you did, they'll forget what Yeshua did, and they will start being drawn to the gods of the foreign alien gods of the land which you are coming to. Azovani, and they will desert me. And they will break the covenant which I have made with them. And I will become very angry on that day. And I shall desert them, forsake them. Vistati fonai mehem, and I will conceal my face from them. I will conceal myself from them, and they will find great tzoris, great problems and anguish. And they will say in those days that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is no longer with us. He is no longer with us, he has left us. And I will conceal my face to them. I'll call it Asher also for everything which they did. Because they have turned to other gods. So Mida Keneged Mida. Because Baruch will do what the people do. The people will turn away from them, from me, and I will turn away from me. They'll conceal themselves from me, I will conceal myself from them. They will make off as if they do not know me, so I will do the same. And I'll forsake them. And they'll go into strange lands, and they'll come up against all type of tzoris, and they will say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is no longer with us, he has left us, because we cannot see him. This is the prophecy. This is the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu. It states twice in this pasuk, "Vanehi haster astir ponai," that I will conceal my face twice. The Gemara says it's referring to all of the Goliaths, but in particular it's referring to the Golus of Esther of Purim. And why twice? Because the darkness and the concealment will be so strong. It'll be a double concealment. It'll be a golus, besech golus, and a tzora besech tzora. A double exile. There were two exiles, because originally they were exiled to Bovel because of Nebuchadnezzar. Then later on, Modai Uporas, the king of Modai Uporas, conquered Bovel. And they ended up now in Shushan Abira under a second king, under Ahasuerus. So it was a double golus. It was a double tzora. Because they had the tzora of Ahasuerus, who was Persian, one of the great Sonim, the great enemies of Klal Yisrael. And then they had tzora of Haman, the tzora of Haman, who all of a sudden came out of the wall. And he was Amalek, he was Esav. Another Sinai, another enemy that seemingly shouldn't have anything to do with Ahasuerus. So it was a golus besech golus and a tzora besech tzora. It was a cheshek besech cheshek. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying. There'll be a time that haster astir ponai. I will conceal myself doubly from them. That the golus will be so dark. And the Gemara tells us even further that once the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed and he has to remove his Shekhinah and go into the Golus, not only will he conceal, but this is a change in the whole Shekhinah. He even conceals his name. The Gemara says at the end of Elo Evrim, Sochim Daf Nun, Leikish Ani Nichto Vani Nikro. You will not even be able to explicitly say my name, because Hashem's name is written Yud and a Hey and a Vav and a Hey. Yet we do not pronounce it that way. We pronounce it as Adnus, because my name is concealed. At times in the Beis HaMikdosh, Kishiyotzo Hashem HaMeforesh Mipi Akein Godel, that they pronounced the name the way it was written, Begoloi. But not during the Churban, not during the destruction. The Gemara says, Bayemahu yeh Hashem echod u'shmei echod. Bayemahu, on the great day, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name will be one. You won't have to write it one way and conceal it when you pronounce it. What's the Yemahu? That'll be the day of the great ghoul of the Melech HaMashiach. But before then, the entire nature of the Shekhinah becomes concealed, to the point where even his name is concealed. So this was the darkness of the Golus. This was the darkness of Purim. A double darkness. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu removed himself, concealed himself, and we could not see him. And this is the darkness of all Goliaths, of all of the exiles during Mishachora Beis HaMikdosh, from the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdosh. We might think, though, that since this is the level of a Mikdosh Miyat, of the minor sanctuary, so therefore the miracle is a minor miracle. And the miracles of the Beis HaMikdosh were greater miracles, we might think. Not true. Not true at all. The Gemara Megillah tells us the miracles of Purim that took place in the Golus were greater than the other miracles. The Gemara says, for example, why don't we say Hallel on Purim? We say Hallel on Pesach, on Shavuos. Sukkos. And the Gemara says it's a kal v'chemer. We should say Hallel even more so. Im me'avdus l'cheirus mimoves l'chaim l'kolshke. Says Purim is a greater miracle than the Exodus and the Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because in the Yetzias Mitzrayim our lives were not in danger. It was a miracle of avdus l'cheirus, from slavery to freedom. While here was a miracle, mimovas lechayim. Haman decreed Lahashmi Lahareg Abed, his Kola Yehudim, to utterly destroy all of the Jews. Tafis Okein. Men, women, children, and old people. Yem Echad on one day, Ushlom Levoisin, to take everything they have. So the Gemara says there's more reason on this miracle to celebrate than even the Yetzias Mitzrayim. Then there's a Chazal that states, Asidim liyais kol amedim telim chutz mipurim. There'll be a time when all of the Yom Tovim will be void. We won't have to celebrate them anymore. But Purim leYosuf mizarom, Purim will never cease from Klal Yisrael. Yeshayim af Yom Kippur. There's another opinion, Yom Kippur also. It's another opinion. But the first opinion in the Gemara is only Purim will never cease. So we're not speaking here when we say that the miracle of the Golus, of the Migdosh Me'at, is a minor miracle. Then the Nisim Gluim, then the open miracles that took place with the Shekhinah Gluya, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself. Now, if we're speaking about such a miracle, you have to have great people to execute such a miracle, to bring about such a miracle. And the Gemara tells us, the Gemara says, Mordechai and Esther were very, very, very great people. Mordechai bedere kemesha bedere shokel keneged kulem kemesha bedere. Mordechai was a mesha rabbeinu of his generation. Mordechai was an enormous tzaddik, an enormous Godel Beteira. He was Miyesh Ve'lish Lishkes HaGozis. He was a member of the Sanhedrin Agdel, of the great court. Esther states she was from the Nevi'ahs. She rose to the level of Nevuah. She became a prophetess. Where Ruach HaKodesh, the spirit of HaKodesh Baruch Hu, came down upon her. So great they were that the Gemara says, where do we find Esther and Mordechai's name in the Torah? The Maral says, what's the Gemara looking for? Esther and Mordechai lived after the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. So why should their names be in the Torah? She says, no. He says, you cannot have people of that stature, yep, that their names are not somewhere indicated in the Torah. And these were the people that were able execute this miracle that the Gemara holds was in many facets greater than all of the miracles that happened to us. So it brings from this pasuk when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that you will go into Golus and you will desert me, and therefore I will hide my face from you. Aster, Aster, this is an indication to the name of Esther. Why is Esther indicated here? It's the same word as Esther. Why is it indicated here? Because even when you go into the Golus and you desert me and I will hide myself from you, it's not doesn't mean that I'm not there. It doesn't mean that I will leave you. I will hide myself but not leave you. And the proof of this will be Esther. The Hastorah, this that I conceal myself, doesn't mean I will leave you. It means I will hide myself from you. And the proof will be Esther, because there will be a great individual that will be able to evoke great miracles in this situation. This is Esther. Mordechai, where's Mordechai mentioned? Well, it says Mordechai is mentioned Morimdichi because when the Gemara, when the Torah tells us the besomim, the different types of spices that were necessary for the Ketores. One is the name, spells out Mordechai. So the spices of the Ketores, of the burning incense, and the Beis HaMikdosh, Mordechai's name is spelled out. What's Mordechai doing in the spices? Because the Chazal tell us, the Ketores had the power, incense had the power to defy and put an end to the Malach HaMavis, to the angel of death. Where do we find this? We find this by Aaron. After the golden calf and the Magepha plague came and were killing all of the Jews, Aaron right away went and he started to be Maktik Teres. He started to bring incense. And Malach HaMavis asked him, who revealed you this secret? That because of your incense, I won't be able to do my job. Mordechai was such a great individual that he could stand before the Malach HaMavis. And in this case, the Malach HaMavis came, revealed himself through Haman, who was Lahashmid Ulahareg Ulaabid Iskola Yudim. And Mordechai stood before him. And therefore, his name is revealed in the incense. So, for such a great miracle, you need great people. And such great people, it cannot be that they're not written in the Torah. So therefore the Gemara brings in Masechta Chulin on Kuf Lamed Tes Amud Beis, Esther min HaTorah Minayin, Mordechai min HaTorah Minayin. Where do we find their names? It's interesting that the Maral brings out that both of their names refer to something behalten, something which is covered, concealed. Esther is from the word Seser, secretive. Mordechai, which was the Ketores, is also secretive, because the Gemara says that when they, first of all, the incense came only on the inner Mizbeach. There were two altars, Mizbeach HaChitzeni and Mizbeach HaPnimi. The Ketores only came on the inner Mizbeach. The inner Mizbeach was covered, that was in the Heichel. So it came in a concealed place. Secondly, the Gemara says it was Yove Bechashoy. When it came, no one was supposed to be there. They told everyone to leave, and it was brought every day Bechashoy, secretively. Fact is, the Gemara brings that the Ketores is Mechaper al Loshon Hora that was said Bechashoy. It was the atonement for Loshon Hora, for slander, that was said behind a person's back. Yovei Dovei Shebachashoy V'yichaper al Dovei Shebachashoy. So we see that both of them, their names reveal secretiveness, concealment. And she explains, because that was the type of people you needed for this miracle. Because to bring out a miracle in the Golus, to bring out a miracle when the Shekhinah, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is concealed, you need people of that level, that are great snuim, that are very low profile, secretive, concealed people. The Gemara explains this. It states that Esther, she was closed mouthed. Ahasuerush continually wanted to know what house she came from, what family she came from. And Mordechai commanded her not to tell, because she was from a house of kings, she was from Shaul. And had he known this, Ahasuerush looked for royalty. He was not a real royalty himself. He was not born into royalty. And had he known this, he would have kept her. And Mordechai was hoping that he would think she comes from some outcast family and he'll send her away. So therefore, Tzivso, he constantly commanded her not to say.
And Achashverosh did everything to try to get this out of her. He made big parties, he gave gifts and everything. And this was talking about a monarch that ruled over 127 countries, who reigned from one end of the world to the other. What greater temptation could there be for a woman? And still, she would not say. And she came from Shaul. Shaul was a great sanua. By Shaul, by King Saul, it states when Shmuel told him that you're going to become the king of Israel and the first king of Israel, what would a person do? He should come back to his city and with great festivity and great orchestration, he should tell it all over. He came to his father. He told his father that he found the mules that he was looking for, the donkeys. And he never told his father this. Even his father's own family wouldn't tell this. He was too humble. He was too tsanua. And it states it came from Rachel. And Rachel was a tsanua. Because when it came the time to marry Yaakov, and Laban made this switch and he sent Leah instead. So she protected Leah by giving her the simonim, the signs, in order that she should not be disgraced. So what did she do? She covered the disgrace of Leah, which is the opposite of Pirshum. Today we live in a world of Pirshum. Live in a world where everybody talks. Mass media. Everybody wants to make noise. The more you can slander someone in the newspapers, the better it is. She covered the shame of Leah with her own future, at the cost of her own future. God, this is the great snus. This level reaches a higher level of Golui. And because they were such individuals, they were able to pull off such a miracle, which was at that level of concealment. Actually, we find this by Yosef. They were the descendants of Rachel, and from Rachel came Yosef and Binyamin. We find this by Yosef. By Yosef it states, the Targum writes on Yosef, Kayim Uraisa Besisro, that all of the years that he was in Egypt, if he was in the dungeons, or if he was a servant, or he was a monarch, or he came to such enormous wealth, Kayim Uraisa Besisro, he always fulfilled the Torah, but Besisro. In secretiveness. Pare didn't know. The Egyptians didn't know. But he sat and studied Torah and fulfilled mitzvahs in Egypt. And he was a melech in golus. He was a king in exile. Because this is the way of the golus. Where the golus is besisro. The golus, the shechina, is in concealment. So therefore to execute such a miracle like this, you needed great people. And not only great people, but people of great tznius that could reach this level. Actually, this is the level of Torah. As it states, Latznuim Chochma. To those who are walk quietly and secretively, they will come to the wisdom of Torah. Then, it's not enough though. It's not enough only to have two great individuals in the generation. The generation also has to be Roy, also has to have great Shuyas for such a miracle. And we find, what did Klal Yisrael do? What did Klal Yisrael do to deserve this miracle? What does the Megillah tell us? Actually, it tells us almost nothing.
says as follows.
When Esther found out about the decree of the king and the decree of Haman, so Esther said, "Vatemer Esther lohoshiv el Mordechai." This is in Esther Dalet Posuk Tesvov, and Esther said to send this message to Mordechai: "Lech kneis es kol haYehudim." Go and gather up all of the Jews and Nimtzuim b'Shushan that are found in Shushan. B'tzumo alai, and fast for me. Al teichlu ve'al tishtu shleishish yomim. For 3 days they shall not eat, or shall they drink. Laila ve'yom, night or day. Gam ani v'nareisai otzum kein, and I and my maidens also will fast. And then I will come to the king to plead his cause, to plead our cause. This is what we found the Jews did. They went, they were all gathered up, and they fasted, and they cried to Hashem for 3 days, night and day. And then Esther was prepared to go to the king. And there it states, when she went to the king, it states, Vatilbash Malchus, that she, Tilbash Esther Malchus, she adorned herself in royalty. And the Gemara tells us, Ruach HaKodesh, the royalty of HaKodesh Baruch Hu. She had come to the level of sanctity and prophecy. Now, what does this mean? HaKodesh Baruch Hu says, He said, why will I conceal myself from you? Because you have concealed yourself from me. You went and turned away from me. This is what we read. He says, there'll come a time you go after foreign gods. You'll forget about the Torah. Osvani v'hefer is brishi. You will break my covenant with you. So therefore I also will turn away from you. Because kiponu elohim achirim, because you have turned to other gods. They had turned away from Hashem. And this is why the Tzora came. It states that Klal Yisrael bowed, they bowed to the Tzelem. They bowed to the idols during the time of Nebuchadnezzar. They went away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is why we're in Golus. We're in Golus because we went away from Hashem. He didn't go from us. We went from Him. And therefore He left. He went away. We went away. And therefore He goes away. If we want Yeshua, if we want salvation, if we want miracles, then we have to turn around and turn back to Him. And then we'll have miracles. If not, then we continue to go away. He will go away. The Gemara brings in Masechta Megillah a new Dalit. The Gemara says, and the pasuk, when Haman came to Ahasuerus, and he said that there's a nation, Yeshnei Amechod, Mefuzim, Mefeded, Beinu Amim, there's a nation that's scattered and disunited amongst the nations, and they're different and so forth, and it's not worth for the king to have them, and I'd like to do away with them. Vayosar HaMelech Estabate Me'al Yodei. The king took his ring off his finger, his royal signet ring, and he gave it to Haman, the great enemy of Israel. This was the ring of authority. Well, now Haman could do what he wanted. The Gemara says on that, and a few dalit, very interesting. Gemara says, Gedela hasores tabas, yese mi arboim ushmein nevim v'sheva nevios.
That giving of the ring did more for Israel. Did more for Israel. Well, what does it mean it did more? It almost got them, Chas v'Shalom, all killed. That was the ring which signed the document, that signed the death warrant. Gemara says that giving of the ring was greater and did more for the Israel than 48 prophets and 7 prophetesses. Than 48 prophets and 7 prophetesses. Shenis nabul lehem Israel. Shekulan lehechziram lemutav. 48 prophets and 7 prophetesses never brought Klal Yisrael back to such a tshuva shlema, to such a closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, than the removing of that ring from the hand of Ahasuerus to the hand of Haman. The ilu hasores tabas hegziroson lemutav. Because all of the time the prophets rebuked Klal Yisrael. Meisha rebuked. Yeshua. All of the prophets rebuked Klal Yisrael. But it did not bring them back to such a closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the removing of the ring, what did that do? That's when Esther said to Mordechai, Lech Knesses Kol HaYehudim, bring all of the Jews, Vetzum Alai, and let them fast. Shleish Yomim, 3 days, Laila V'Yom, day and night. And all of the Jews did that. And they all fasted. And they all cried out to Hashem. And they all did Shuvah. And it was this that brought the miracle. So that giving of the ring had more power, lemuta, for good for Klal Yisrael, than all of the rebukes of the prophets and the prophetesses. That's what the Gemara says. Now this is a very important factor. It's a very important factor. Because generally, when people see tzoris, doesn't necessarily bring them to turn themselves. If they have tzoris, they're not feeling well, they go to the doctor. Doctor can fix them up good. Can't fix them up, they go to another doctor. Second doctor can't fix them up. So they go to a different type of doctor. Try another type. Or they'll try another, something else. Business is not good. They'll bring in better business management. They'll try other businesses. If there's sorus in the world, we'll sort it out with diplomacy. We'll sort it out with political measures. Try to sort it out with money. Let's try to sort it out with armies, with everything. Sometimes we have to do everything. But there's one element that we forget to do. And that's Sumo Alai Shleish Yomim, what Esther told Mordechai. Sure, Esther said she's going to go to the king. Esther was willing, Mordechai told her. Mordechai said that now's the time for diplomatic and political maneuvers. Haman has become Korav Lamalchus, he has the king's ear. So we have to get into the king and see if we can change him. So he told her to go. You must go. And you must speak to the king. But she said something that I'm not ready to go to the king yet. Not ready. I have to do tshuva. And you have to do tshuva. And all of Israel has to do tshuva. Then I'll be ready to go to the king. And when she did go to the king then, the miracle happened immediately. That day, she said, come with Haman to the party. And that day, she said, come again tomorrow to the party. And the next day, Haman was finished. but it was not the diplomacy. The diplomacy was only to bring it to the end. Everything was taken care of before. And this is very important, because we live in an arrogant world. If we see tzoras, we see problems, we go with arrogance. We'll take care of it. It'll be fine. Don't worry about it. We'll sort it out. Or, look, it's a natural occurrence of events. Earthquakes have to happen every so often. San Francisco has to have an earthquake, and California has to have an earthquake every 50, 60 years. It has to be. And crime has to happen. And droughts have to happen. So we go with arrogance. Did we ever think that maybe we are causing it? Maybe it's our lifestyle that's causing it. It's causing the crime, it's causing the tsunamis, it's causing the earthquakes. It's causing wars. No. Arabs are causing wars. We're not causing wars. But our Chazal tell us not like that. The Mishnah of us explicitly tells us. Devar bala elam. When plague comes to world, it's because of this Avera and that Avera. Cherev bala elam, a sword comes to the world, it's because this Avera and that Avera. Drought comes to the world, it's because of this Avera and that Avera. It's a Mishnah novice that explicitly tells us all of the Averas that causes all of these are phenomena. And Esther and Mordechai understood. A Haman comes to the world. It's not the Haman that's come. Haman is always there. A Haman comes to the world, it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has removed his protection from us. So we have to bring his protection back. We've turned away from him. See, he's turned away from us. If we turn back towards him, he will turn back towards us. If he turns back towards us, then Haman is nothing. In 24 hours, he's going to be hanging. Imagine. A man who became the viceroy of the most powerful monarch in the world. Moses is not the most powerful monarch in the world. One of the most powerful monarchs of history. And in 24 hours, he's hanging from a tree. Because we brought HaKadosh Baruch Hu back amongst us. Mordechai understood and Esther understood. That's why she said, call the people. We have to do something. And that's what the Gemara says. Asoras Tabas. This ring that went from Ahasuerus's hand to Haman's hand did more for Klal Yisrael than all of the Nevi'im and the Nevi'os. When we have problems, we look in the wrong directions for solutions. The Rambam spells this out very clearly. Which we brought in the Sichon not long ago. Kodesh Baruch Hu says in the rebukes, in the Teichochais, he says, if you'll go away from me, then I will turn away from you. And you will find yourself having sorrows. Then he says, then he said, V'halachtem imi b'keri, if you will walk with me without understanding or without giving heed to what happens to you as coming from me, but you will say it's coming from natural occurrence of events, then halachti v'halachti im chobekeri, I will also walk away with like that, and I will bring even more tzoras. Excuse me, I have the wrong one, second chelak. I told you the wrong one, thank you. Rambam brings in the beginning of Hilchos Tanios, Mitzvah Zese Min HaTorah, Lizei Kulariyah B'Chatzeitz Reis, Al Kol Tzora Shetovei Al HaTzibur. We are commanded in the Torah that when there's a Tzora that comes on the Tzibur, it states, Shenema La HaTzor HaTzere Eschem V'Harei Eisem B'Chatzeitz Reis. that when there's a tzora that comes to the tzibur, the Torah actually is speaking there about war, that when war will come into your land, you shall bring out the trumpets and the shafers, and you shall blow them. So the Gemara learns on anything. Whether it's drought, or if it be flood, or locusts, or whatever it might be, sickness or war. What must we do? We must bring out the trumpets. This was in the time of the Beis Hamikdash. Bring out the trumpets and the shafers and blow them. Now why? And then it states, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will hear them and he'll come to our aid. What's the trumpets going to do? Because we blow the trumpets, it's going to make a difference if there's plague or if there's war. So the Rambam explains, Dovezeh Midarkei HaTshuvahu. Because this is the way of tshuva, bisman shetov etzora v'yizaku aleho. Because when etzora comes, and we will blow the trumpets, and we will cry out to Hashem, v'yoriu, then yedu hakol, and everyone will know. People will ask, if there's soros, what are we crying to Hashem for, and what are we bringing trumpets for? So they'll realize that it's from us. They will realize that it's our deeds that are bringing this upon us. Like it states that our deeds bring the tzoros. And if we, the first, whenever you're dealing with a sick person, no doctor can cure any sick person unless he can first convince the person that he's sick. Person will not be convinced that he's sick, then no doctor can help him. So the first thing we have to realize that something's wrong with us. If we see tsoros, we see hurricanes, and we see droughts, and we see floods, and we see sickness, and we see upheaval, and we see war, and it has nothing to do with us, then no doctors can help us. If we understand that avneisechem hitu, that it's our deeds that have brought this upon us. That's what we must understand first. Then we can start doing something about it. Therefore, it's a mitzvah asei, a positive commandment in the Torah, that when we see a tzora coming upon us, we bring out the shafers and the trumpets, and we blow, and we cry out to Hashem in order to bring home to us, make us cognizant that we are causing it. If we are causing it, now we can do something about it. What will we do? So we must change ourselves. We must improve ourselves. And this will remove the tzora from us. But what happens if we won't do this? We won't cry out to Hashem, and we won't blow the trumpets. So what will we do? What's it got to do with us? Okay. So the hurricanes have to happen. It's a cycle. Earthquakes have to happen. And flooding has to happen. And droughts have to happen. And sickness has to happen. And war has to happen. As long as there are people, there are nations, and as long as there are nations, there's aggression. As long as there's aggression, there's war. Has to happen. If that's what we'll do, then dovezeh derech hachzorius. This, the Rambam says, is great cruelty. Because then we are continuing in our bad ways. What is it like? It's like a person that, heaven forbid, a person wakes up one morning and he's got a stomachache. Alright, if he's clever, he realizes he ate something the night before that he shouldn't eat, and next time he shouldn't eat it. If he doesn't, he continues. And there, it's a minor thing. Let's say he's got a stomachache, a pain in the stomach, and it doesn't go away. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, it doesn't go away. If he's clever, so then he knows something is wrong, and he tries to find out what's wrong. He'll go to a doctor and ask him, what's the problem? if he's a fool, he'll say, forget about it. Meanwhile, his body is sending a signal to him that something is wrong and has to be taken care of. If he doesn't heed the signal, what will be? So the body will send more signals. The ache will start to spread. If he doesn't heed that signal, the body will continue to send more signals. Maybe he'll start feeling it in his leg, or maybe he'll start feeling it in his arm, or maybe he'll start getting headaches, or maybe he'll start getting fever. So is it with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings signals. If we heed the signals, good. If we don't, then it's uxorious, it's a cruelty. Because we cause HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring more tzoras. And the more tragedy, heaven forbid. So he says, Dovezeh Achzorius, Betesiv Hatzor Tzoras Acheres. Husha Hakosu Betera Vahalakti Bibi Bekeri Vahalakti Gamani Mochim Bekamaskeri. If you walk with me and you interpret world events, personal events and world events, Bekeri, Keri means they are natural occurrences, then I also will walk with you that way. And they only will become worse and worse. Umidivri Seifim Lisanais. And then the Chachomim said, in addition to the trumpets and the shafras, and in addition to the crying out to Hashem, the Chachomim said, we should fast our Kol Tzora on all of the Tzoras. Again, to bring home to us that we are causing it, and there's something we are doing, just like there's something you're eating that is causing damage, and therefore you have to change it. The same thing here at this level. It states, the Medrash states, similar to this, Upare Hikriv, that when Pare came down on Klal Yisrael, so it doesn't say Korev, he came close, Hikriv, he made come close. It states that Paroi did more for Klal Yisrael than Kuf Tzumos and 100 fast days. When they came out of Egypt and the sea was in front of them and the deserts were to the sides of them with wild animals and behind them was Paroi, so they had nowhere to go and nowhere to turn. So it states they had to look up. You can't look forward, you can't look backward, you got to look up. They looked up and they cried out to Hashem and they did tshuva. So Parai Hikriv, Parai brought the people closer to tshuva than 100 fast days. What do we see from there? We see that a tzora can be a wonderful thing. What did that tzora bring? That tzora brought one of the greatest open miracles in our history. Immediately HaKadosh Baruch Hu split the sea. To split the sea they had to be roi, they had to be on a level. Pari brought him to that level. To pull off a miracle of Purim, they had to be at a level. Haman brought him to that level. Yeser Hasoras Tabas, the removing of the ring from Achashverosh to Haman, did more for Klal Yisrael than all of the prophets and prophetesses. A tzora can be a wonderful thing. Just like in biology. What would be if we didn't have pain? What would be if, heaven forbid, a person has something wrong with an organ in the body and there's no tzora, there's no pain? When will he find out about it? He'll find out about it when it's too late to find out about it. So that tzora can be wonderful. A tzora can be a wonderful thing for a person, or it can be a cruel thing for a person, depending on how he looks at it. And you want miracles, you got to be roy for it. Mordechai came to Esther and said, go immediately to the king. Here in this case Esther was no more than Mordechai. Mordechai said, go immediately. You must go to the king and you must intervene. It's time for action. And Esther said, I can't just go to the king like that. I'm not ready. The people are not ready. First sumo alai. Leich, kineis kol ha-yudim. Gather all of the Jews together in Shushan. Fast for 3 days and nights. Don't eat or drink. and cry out to Hashem, and then I will be ready to go to the king. And it states Vatil Beshmalchus, then when she went to the king, it says she put on royal garments, garments of royalty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lof Shoruach HaKadosh, she had rose, she had risen to the heights of Kedusha, of sanctity, where such a miracle could be pulled off, could be executed, and within 24 hours Haman was finished. So this, to a miracle like this, needs people. It needed a Mordechai and Esther, and it needed Kol HaYehudim. And this is what we saw. Actually, this is a Gemara. There are many Gemaras on this. The Gemara tells us, Imraya Odom Yesurin Bayin Olav. If a person sees Soros coming upon himself, Yifashvish B'maisav. Doesn't say simply you go to the doctor or you bring in better business personnel. It says Yifashvish B'maisav. Let him examine his deeds first. First examine his deeds. Then go to the doctor. Then the doctor will be able to help you. First examine your deeds, and then try improvements in the business. And then they'll help. This is what the Gemara tells us. So here we've explained why one of the distinctions of Purim, because Purim took place in the Golus. It was the nace of the Golus. It was the miracle of a Golus. Miracles in Eretz Yisrael that we knew of. Miracles in Eretz Yisrael during the time of the Beis HaMikdash is no chidush. That's no big thing. I saw the Nisim every day. On a regular basis there were miracles in the Beis HaMikdash. Eretz Yisrael was the place of the miracles because of the kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash. But that there should be miracles of this level, or even of greater level in the Golus, that was a great chidush. And that's what Chazal saw in Purim. And that they wanted to protect for generations. And this was a miracle which is impossible to see. It was an Eis Nister. That's why you cannot find any evidence of it. You look through the whole Megillas Esther. It's merely an historical profile. You cannot find any evidence of it. And even more so, it was not a Gula Shlema. It was so concealed that not only they couldn't see it during the miracle, but afterwards also. Because after all the miracles took place, the Gemara says they die in Avdei Achashverosh Haman. We were still subjects to Achashverosh. We were still in Golos. We were still in a strange land. Which made it even more difficult to see. But what is it showing us? It's showing us what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. That I will be for you a Mikdush Ma'at. When you go into the Golos, to the faraway lands. Just as I dwelled in the Mikdush HaGodol, I will make myself for you a Mikdush Me'at, a minor Mikdush, and I will be with you. You won't see me. You won't hear me, but I will be there. And great miracles will always also take place if you do not turn from me. If you turn towards me, and I will be there to protect you. So this is why Purim has this character. Not a complete salvation in the Golus, and it wasn't even a Gula Shlema, a total salvation. And now to the final question. We asked the question. We find the mitzvah of the Simchas Purim, that one should drink ad leyoda, until he doesn't know. Why? What is the reason for that? And the answer is as follows, the Maral gives, which is in line of what we just said. We celebrate in this world because of the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Yeshua Hashem, the great salvation. This is what we celebrate. Celebration is halal. We sing out to Hashem on His great chesed, what He does for us, what He does for the world. Now, in order to sing out to Hashem, we have to be able to see something. We have to see this great chesed, this great Yeshua. We have to perceive it. There are different ways. We can hear about it, the Shmiah, the Zriah. We can see it. Yisro heard about it. Bayishma Yisro. He heard about it. There's Ria. There's those that saw. Rasu alayam. We saw on the sea. We saw by Matan Torah. There's Yediya. We can perceive it through our intellect. These are all different levels of knowing. And these were the Yeshuas of all of the other Yom Tovim. We either heard, or we saw, or we knew. Purim, which represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shekhinah with Klal Yisrael in the Golus, is a different level. It's a level where we cannot see. We cannot see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Golus. The darkness is too much. It's a level where we can't hear. We can't hear. Darkness is also too much. And it's a level where we can't even know it. We cannot even perceive it through our intellect. Even HaKadosh Baruch Hu conceals His name in the Golus. We cannot perceive it through intellect. For example, the Megillah's Esther. If you read the Megillah intellectually, you will not see any hand of Hashem. It could be, it could be not. It could be that He guided everything. It could be, like so many say, it's a history was taking its natural course of events. So how do we know then? How do we know? If we cannot see and we cannot hear and we cannot know, so how do we know? The answer to that is a child is a mother's son or a father's son not because they know that they belong to each other. Even if they don't know, Yediyah, knowing, is not a imperative condition. A child is a son of a mother and father because they saw and they heard and they know. And if they didn't see and they didn't hear and they didn't know, so no longer is the child their child. The child is a child to the father and mother because in reality there's a bond between them. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Klal Yisrael, that there'll be a time when you go off into the far lands, and I will conceal myself from you, and you will not be able to see me, and you will not be able to hear me, and you will not even be able to know of me with your intellect. But still, the power of great miracles will be there. Haster Esther. Esther will still be there. Esther represents this great miracle, will still be there. Because in reality, my bond will never break with you. Wherever you will go, I will go with you. Israel is very dear to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And wherever they will go, I will go, because we have a bond that cannot be severed.
And when you will be returned, I will return with you.
And I shall be for you. Not that I shall make for you. I shall be for you. A mikdash wherever you will go. If you will have Torah and Tefillah there, and will not chase me away, I will be there.
So the level of Purim,
miracle of Purim, was not that they saw Rosso Shivcha Lalayom.
Not that they saw the great miracles and they sang to Hashem. Or not that they heard of the great miracles. Or not even that they knew of the great miracles. They didn't know. There's no Yediya Brura. There is no clearly defined knowledge and intelligence there. But the level that they came to was, even without knowing, they also knew. It's a level which is classified as Tomim Tia Im Hashem Elokecha. That there are,
as a level of being close to Hashem because of knowing, there's a level of being close to Hashem even without knowing.
There is a level where the knowing stops
and we're still together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Tamim tia, im Hashem elokecha. That you should place your trust in Hashem even though you don't know.
The great display and manifestation of this level was the miracle of Purim. And this is why the Chazal were so careful to preserve it.
This is its Abu Adekulan. This is its source. That even where we cannot see or perceive, we cannot see any solution to the problem. There is no solution to the Tzora.
There is no way we can solve it.
Still, Tommy, place your trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu,
because He will solve it for you. You just have to turn to Him
and He will solve it.
This is the level of Purim. And therefore,
we come to a mitzvah of celebrating here,
not only because of what we see and what we hear, but even
Adelayot, even where we do not have a clear intelligence,
there's also a mitzvah to sing to Hashem,
to celebrate to Hashem. The mitzvah of Chai Vodim Sumivapuri Adelayot.
So these are some points in this Purim, in this great miracle that took place. And this is a special lesson to us, to the people, to the generations that live during the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, because this was the level of the Shechina that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with us, not only during the time of Binyan Beis HaMikdash, the building of the Beis HaMikdash, but during all of the tzoras that we find in the Golos, and during the Churban, during the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. We should all be zeicher to fulfill the mitzvahs of Purim, and to fulfill the levels of Purim, where we can come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so again He can perform great miracles for Klal Yisrael, wherever they may be.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za, or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.